Today I get to continue the series called Grow. And what we've done in Grow is we've taken the parable of the four soils in Matthew chapter 13. And literally for the last 4 weeks we've been talking about the very first type of soil. It's the path. It's the hard ground around the field. And what that path was representative of is that the sower sowed seed, and the seed was the word of God. And the soil represents the hearts of man and how that they receive the word of God. And the first type of heart that received the word of God was very hard, and the seed stayed on the surface. And when Jesus interpreted, he said, it stayed on the surface and the birds came and took away the seeds. They ate the seeds. And so when he interprets this, he says the enemy is the birds, the devil, that comes and tries to steal away the truth. And so immediately our reaction is, a lot of times as Christians, we've got a bird problem and let's stop the birds from eating the seed. The problem isn't the birds. It's the position of the seed. See, the same seed was sown in all four soils, but only one of them brought forth a harvest. And there was a reason why. And the reason why that a harvest was not brought with the path is that it was too hard to penetrate. And when Jesus interprets it, he says the reason that the seed could not penetrate is because they didn't understand. So they had no discipleship. And there's things that we don't understand sometimes, like the statement that we taught about bringing the understanding that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It just doesn't always feel good. It's sometimes you walk through a trial, sometimes you walk through a circumstance. And a lot of times you've heard things and there's little pieces of truth like, you know what, all you got to do is pray about it. Well, yeah. Prayer is powerful. It changes. It can change everything. Prayer can produce a moment and an environment for a miracle. But God also says in his word that you reap what you sow. And remember that story that I made up about those two teenagers, and they were dating and they made some bad decisions and they found out that they were pregnant, and they rushed over to City Gate into Pastor Gray's office and they told Pastor Gray, we've made some mistakes and we made some bad decisions. And Pastor Gray jumps up and puts his loving arms around them and says, you know what, let's reconcile your disobedience with God. And all of a sudden he puts it around there and he prays. And they both pray and they say, God, forgive me and I repent. And then God instantly forgives them. And then they say amen and they're still pregnant. Yep. And that just reminded me, we've got a new City Gator for the very first time. Abigail Ray Golden. She's right up here on the second row. Will you stand up, please, and just show this congregation that baby? First Sunday. Amen. But the point I was making in that made-up story was that sometimes you pray and get forgiveness, but you have to walk out the thing that you've made a decision to walk out. And I even backed it up with another example. I said, you know what? Sometimes I get called to go down to the jail and because somebody's been arrested, and just... I made up another story. I said, you know, the guy walks into the 7-Eleven. He feels desperate. He goes up to the clerk and says, okay, I need all of your money. And he gets $37, a carton of cigarettes, and a six-pack of beer. He runs out, and about 30 minutes later, he's arrested. And he calls, and he says, Pastor, you got to come and pray. I'm so sorry. And I go down there, and I pray with him, and he dedicates his heart and life to the Lord. And he is forever saved, but he's staying in jail. Well, today I get the opportunity to move to the next soil, the stony ground. See, it's those moments where we probably are all going to discover that there may be some rocks and some hard places underneath the soil of our heart that we may not be able, that maybe we don't even aren't aware of, and we wonder why in that area of our lives it's always hard to bring forth a harvest. And the Holy Spirit has probably been talking to us and saying, there's a rock underneath the surface. We need to get the rock out from underneath the surface so the seed can penetrate deep. And in Matthew 13, the Bible says this. If you'll just put up verses 20 and 21, it says this. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Father, I ask you today to let me speak with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. See, the problem here is identified with kind of the title of the soil. Jesus calls this area stony ground. That means that there's a rock underneath the surface of the soil that would prevent a harvest. It means that underneath the surface, there's something that is going to be hard enough to keep the roots of a seed from penetrating to the depths that are required for a healthy harvest. And the whole issue here is that we're going to learn today is called depth. See, sometimes you need depth, because what happens in this story is that it looks like it's so much different than the first soil, because when the seed was on the path and it was on the surface and the birds were eating them, it had absolutely no productivity at all. But in this soil, it seems like everything's going in the right direction. But sometimes looks are deceiving. See, all of a sudden you got seed going underneath the soil, and underneath the soil, even though it's underneath the soil just a little bit, it provides an environment that is going to create an environment that is conducive for seeds to do what seeds do, and that is grow. And all of a sudden, it's no time, and you've got a little green shoot sticking out of the ground. And let's say you're a farmer and you're farming corn. All of a sudden, these little corn stalks, they're green and they're tender, and they're about 3 or 4 inches high. And it doesn't take but just a little bit for them to come up. And there's something to be taught here about things that happen easy and that happen fast. They're not always the best for you. Because sometimes We kind of have developed a culture that wants to eliminate the process, and sometimes the process requires us going through painful moments for productivity. And so we will exchange activity for productivity. Just because you're active doesn't mean you're productive. Paul addresses that by saying some of you act like you're fighting the air. Well, if you're just swinging like this, you ain't doing anything. He's saying you're going to wear yourself out because it's activity, but there's not enough productivity. And people that what does that really mean, Pastor? It means that if you're busy for busy's sake, stop. You say, well, Pastor, you say, am I really that busy? If you're going around telling people, I just don't have enough time, I'm going to give you a secret today. This is revelation. If you are a highlighter or a note taker, this is one to highlight and take a note. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what continent you're on. It doesn't matter what culture you're from. It doesn't matter about the color of your skin, your eye color, or whether you have hair like the people I envy, or you don't have hair like me. It doesn't matter. You get the same amount of time. 24 hours in a day. See, the difference between people that are just busy for busy's sake and people that are productive is that they learn how to manage their time. And they're not just busy all the time, because activity in itself, and what happens is this seed goes into the ground and immediately it is received with joy. That means that they're happy, their life has been encountered with the Word of God, and immediately it shoots up. Now I'm going to go back in time for just a minute, and for some of you that are new and you haven't been with me 15 years, I used to look a lot younger and a lot fitter. When I come here 15 years ago, and there was a time I was actually a pretty good athlete. I played basketball, football, and baseball. And there was something about my football coach that he wanted to teach us, and some lessons are not taught easy. He wanted to teach us stamina. You know how our football coach taught us stamina? He run us over and over and over again. And you would run, and then you would puke. And then you would run some more, and you would puke some more. And when you're the person running and you don't understand the purpose of pain, sometimes you think the coach is mean. Like he's just getting a kick out of me puking. No, he's preparing you for the fourth quarter of a game. When the game is on the line and everybody's tired, he wants to produce in you a stamina that will endure the pain and work through the process to finish the game strong. Amen? Because what happens in this parable is the seed don't have to fight to get to the top of the surface. It's just real shallow. And so it's very easy for that seed and that stalk to shoot up out of the ground. And here's where I get in trouble for just a minute. And I know that there are different types of people with different personalities. But when I played sports, we kept score. Everybody wasn't a winner. And you know, we determined based upon that score who won and who lost. And there was valuable lessons to be learned by experiencing both of those. You won with class and you lost with dignity. Everybody didn't get a trophy at the end of the season. Only the team that won got a trophy. You say, well, Pastor, I never played sports, so I don't understand. It happens in the workplace. It really does. Remember when you used to get a raise because you did something productive? Now people want raises because they're there another year. See, sometimes you got to work for something. And that process allows you to get what I call spiritual grit. It means that you've got to fight for something. And that stalk, it didn't have to fight for anything because it was planted in shallow ground. And it was so easy just to raise up past the surface of the ground. But you know what happens when things are easy? That stalk is tender. And the Bible says this, that tender stalk looked like it was prepared for the day. But when the sun come out, the sun was so hot that it scorched it and it withered. All of a sudden now, see, can anybody relate to something they've had to fight for? Don't you appreciate it a little bit more? That when it because God is never putting you through a process that will require painful moments for His entertainment. And you have to understand that clearly. God is not causing the pain for Him to get kicks and giggles and laugh at your pain. What He's doing is preparing you for a moment that when the enemy comes that has no regard for you and tries to assault his character and your life, you are going to say, no, no, no. I once was moved by simple emotions, but now I got roots in who God is. I got some depth in who He is, and I'm willing to fight for what I've got. I'm trying not to preach too long, so it's one of those moments where is the Word of God getting past your emotions? Because a lot of Christians, that's where we want to stop. And if you are just a planting seed in the fertile ground of your emotions, you're going to be a lot like this part of the parable because you're going to receive what God has to say with joy. That is moving your emotions. I got the goosebumps. I've got the feeling. I felt God today. Yeah, but you're fixing to walk into a trial where God feels like He's a million miles away. And do you have enough depth to know that He hears you when you pray? Do you have enough depth to know that the enemy is going to try to deceive you? Do you know how the enemy tried? You know, I went to the funeral of a saint of the Lord, a soldier of the faith, a general in our community, Pastor Henderson, Brother George from Alva First Baptist. He was in full-time ministry 57 years. How many times do you think he wanted to quit? 57 years? How many times did his feelings get hurt? How many times did he feel like God was a million miles away? How many times did he look towards the heavens and not think that his prayer was going past the ceiling? How many times did he pray for a friend and they transitioned to heaven when he wanted them to be healed on earth? But he had something that when the enemy would come and assault his frailty of humanity and say, you should just give up. You don't make a difference anyway. That happens to me all the time. And you wonder, do I really make a difference? And then you get a phone call like I had yesterday. Because you had to fight. Those are the moments you had to fight. I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. And then God gives you a little, you know, gives you a little surprise. I got called yesterday from a young man that I helped when he was about 15 years of age. He and his parents got divorced. It was a mess, and it really did a lot of damage in his life. And he struggled. And I gave that young man, I loaned him $40, and I gave him a tape. That's back when they had tapes. That's how old I am. I said tapes, and everybody under 25 said, "What's a tape?" Is it duct tape? What is that? No, they used to have these little recording things that you put in. They're called tapes. And I actually forgot about it. He called me yesterday, and he said, "I want you to know that I've carried that tape with me, and I've never forgot you helping me." And he said, "I'm married and have two kids now, and I want to know where to send the $40. I said, "You don't have to send me anything." I said, "Just hearing your voice is payment enough." And that's when you've got to be able to fight for something, because the enemy will come and say, "You know what? When your kids are kind of going off the path and they're going down a little rebellious path," and he's going to whisper in your ear in the dead of night and say, "I've got them and there's nothing you can do about it." You're going to stand up in the middle of your dark bedroom and say, "No, I have the word of God that says I planted a seed in their life and that seed will not return void. Because I got some roots." Because what looks like success, under further investigation, this seed had absolutely no potential of harvest, because it was never going to have enough depth to survive the elements and the heat of the sun. And Dave, if you'll come up and get ready to play me something in just a moment, I'm going to make a couple of more points. First of all, in Psalms 91, verse 5, it says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." See, everybody is accustomed to how the enemy, the terror of night is those trials, temptations, those struggles, those battles. But you know what? The enemy uses all of those things to discourage the believer, and he's hopeful that they don't have enough roots and enough depth in their fellowship with God, and he hopes that the circumstances of their life frustrate them so much that they give up on their walk of faith. But when that doesn't work, you know what is just as dangerous? Success when you're not prepared for it. I like to kind of associate that arrow that flies by day. How many of you have ever seen those stories on TV, those documentaries, when those people win the lottery and the next time that you see them, 2 years later, their life's a mess and the money never really helped them? Because they got success and they weren't prepared for the success. Do you know how many people I've seen get sidetracked because the enemy couldn't discourage them enough but allowed them to have success? And they weren't prepared for the success and weren't mature enough or deep enough to understand that the success was coming from God, and they started thinking the success was coming from them. And all of a sudden now they're vulnerable because of pride. See, the seed, I'm going to be truthful with you today, because you may be here and you may think, I really feel led to begin a relationship with Christ. It is the greatest experience you will ever experience. It will start in your emotions, and you will be filled with that joy of experiencing your sins going as far as the east is from the west. You will sense the sensation of all of the weight of that guilt and that shame of yesterday's mistake being wiped clean with the authority of the price that Jesus paid for you, the ransom that he paid for you with his own life. But then you're going to, this is where we mess up in the gospel, especially in the United States. We almost lead people to believe that if they get saved, they're never going to experience any more pain. Or if you get saved or you give your hearts to Jesus, you're never going to have to worry about the devil, because he's afraid of you now because you got God on your side. No, he's coming. Do you think that you're just going to surrender your heart to the Lord and he's just going to say, "Man, I missed you. Good luck. You get to go to heaven now." No, he's going to attack you. See, the sun in this parable represents tribulation and persecution. Remember the scripture? Let me read it for you one more time. Verses 20 and 21. it says this: as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise, see, it's coming. You're going to meet with opposition. But did you see what caused it? The word of God caused it. He said, you meet persecution and tribulation on account of the word. Do you see that in that scripture? That means that the enemy is going to try to steal what has been planted in your heart. And he's going to come and try to cause trials and tribulation and persecution. And we get people mixed up because we try to almost tell them, if you get saved, everything's going to be all right in eternity. When you get to heaven, hey, Dave, can you play just a little softer? It's that moment where all of a sudden you think everything is good because you've received Christ in your life, and the enemy shows up and says, what you going to do about it now? And it's in those moments where you have had that process go on in your life where the roots are deep and say, I know that you whispered in my ear yesterday that God was a million miles away and he didn't have enough time for me. But my roots and the authority of his word says there's not an idle moment that goes by. He is not aware of my condition. Matter of fact, he knows the number of hair on my head. I don't feel it, but I'm not basing my faith upon what I feel, because I base it upon what I know. And his word is truth, and I know that he's here when he feels like he's not. And I know that heaven and earth could pass away, but his word is what I'm going to stand on because it is timeless. And he is faithful. It's where I get my roots. Galatians 5 and 7 says this: you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. Paul is addressing a runner that stopped running. He's saying, why'd you stop? And I'm going to try not to color this story up. I ran a 5K a short while back because they pressured me into it. The young whippersnappers here at Citygate said, oh, Pastor, I think you could do that. I said, sure, I can do that. What are you talking about? I ran the first mile fast. Too fast. And then the second mile come, and it started to hurt. And my side started to ache. And that little voice inside said, why are you doing this? You ain't getting no trophy for this. Quit running. Stop. Just give up. Just don't finish the race. And then another voice said, don't you quit. And I decided I didn't care if I had to walk across the finish line. There was no way that I was going to stop halfway through and quit. That I was going to experience it even though it hurt. Because I wanted to go deep and I wanted to press through. And you know what? I just kept going, and I would walk for a little while and I'd run for a little while because I think it's a little bit over 3 miles. And the last little mile, I'd walk a little bit, and then I would run a little bit. And then finally, I saw the finish line and I wasn't last. And I saw people gathered that had finished, and I acted like I'd never walked before. I started running. Like, yeah, high-fived everybody. Folks, you're here because some people in this congregation have thought about quitting. And it's gotten painful for a moment. And if you don't get enough depth, if I don't stop long enough to not make you feel good, and if all you're wanting to come to church for is the goosebumps of the emotions, I have done you a disservice as your pastor. But I need to tell you, to finish the race and to finish it strong, you're going to go through some moments where there's trials and persecution. But if you allow the seed of God's word to go deeper than your stones, and if the Holy Spirit says there's a rock underneath the surface, take it out, because He'll want to argue with you. The enemy will show you. You don't have to take that rock out. Look, there's a green root. There's a green stalk over there. You're okay. You're different. No, go get the stone out so it can get deep enough to produce fruit. Stand to your feet. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap if we're going to clap. Let me read this last statement, then we're going to pray together. Does the Word of God only penetrate your emotions? Do you only have joy for a moment? Are you pleased with the Word, or are you changed by it? That change can only be made by depth. Have you given it the authority, talking about God's Word, have you given it the authority to set the boundaries of your life, or does it just stay in the shallows of your emotion? Is there rocks in your heart blocking the Word's penetration of depth and leaves your life vulnerable to the relentlessness of the sun? The comfort of depth is protection from the scorching of the sun. See, what seems to be hard, the deeper you go, the harder you have to fight to get to the surface, but it is the very thing that protects you from the harmful elements of the sun. It is your protection. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here and you don't even know why you're here, but you know what? Maybe your family's going through some stuff. Maybe you're going through some stuff. Maybe you've tried to live right and you thought, man, ever since I've tried to live right, it seems like all hell's broken loose on me. It probably has, because the enemy's afraid of you reaching your destiny. He's not afraid of you going to heaven, but he's afraid of the impact that God has assigned for you to touch other people's lives, that they don't go to hell. But he doesn't know if the enemy's trying to hope that you're going to get weary in the process and not go deep enough. But maybe today is that moment you're going to start this relationship. You're going to say, Pastor, what do I do about the rocks that may be in my heart? Listen to the Holy Spirit when he says to take them out. Things like unforgiveness and bitterness, forgiveness. All of a sudden, you're doing that and taking the stones out of those hard areas, and the seed of God's word is getting deeper and deeper in your spirit that allows you to be prepared for a harvest. If that's you today, and you're wanting to start that relationship and let the word of God penetrate your heart, past the emotions to true change, would you simply just raise your hand today so I can see who I'm praying for? Yes, I see these hands. 3, 4, 5. Any more? 6. Thank you. 7. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you'll just remain with your eyes closed for just a moment, how many of you would just say, Pastor, I'm already saved, but there's probably, I want to let the Holy Spirit evaluate the soil of my heart, and I want to make sure there's nothing that will hinder. I want to do a rock inspection to see if there's some stony ground in my life. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to do that today? Would you raise your hand? Yes, amen. Now, open your eyes. There were people, there were probably 5 to 7, maybe 8 people that raised their hand to receive Christ today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to grab the hand of the person next to you. And you may be one of those persons that raised your hand and you wondered if God really saw what you just did. He did. And the person that's sitting next to you, is his hand represented to you as him acknowledging that you're not ever going to have to walk alone again, that he is going to be faithful to his word. So will you grab somebody's hand? And if you raise your hand to receive Christ, you say, Pastor, am I going to be perfect after this prayer? No, you're just not going to let failure stop you. You're going to get knocked down and get back up. Don't worry about it. He'll try to make you feel guilty about your past. Don't worry about it. Jesus is bigger than your past. What we're going to do is allow the Word of God to go deep enough that it changes you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, right now, you know the hands that went up that said, I need Christ in my life today. I need the seed of God's Word to go past my emotions and dig into the depths of my spirit that allows the Word to go into that moment of process that allows the struggle to move to the surface, and that when that stalk is fully matured, it's going to come and break forth, and it's going to have the strength to endure the elements, the sun, the trials, the tribulations, until I have a harvest. Your Word is faithful to that. And I ask you, Father, right now, for every person that said, you know, Pastor, over the next few weeks, we're going to go deep and we're going to learn how to grow roots and what those root systems are for. And Father, the first thing that we have to do is evaluate, where's the rocks? Where's the stones? Father, today I start with my own life and I say, if there's a rock under the surface of the soil of my heart that I'm not aware of, make me aware of it. And give me the strength to partner with you to remove it. And in the removal of that, as painful as it may be, it will provide me the opportunity for the seed of your Word to go even deeper. And I give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him a praise offering one more time. Have a great 4th of July. Have a barbecue. Eat hamburgers, hot dogs. Fellowship with friends. Put on sunscreen. Don't forget to go to the activity center, see the pirate ship, and please stay around, guys, to help us break that down. God bless.